You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation interview series. I'm your host, Ian Clark. On Sunday, October 19th, I had the pleasure of attending the inaugural League One Ontario Cup final between Sigma FC and Vaughan Azzurri, where in the end, Vaughan emerged with a 2-1 victory. Throughout the afternoon, I spoke with a handful of people involved and associated with League One to get their thoughts on the first season for the Ontario-based league. First off is Dino Rossi, who many will know for his work with the Canadian soccer community and is the chairman of League One Ontario. Kostas Miriotis follows and is the director of Sigma FC Academy, who have emerged as one of Canada's elite venues for player development. Aaron Nielsen has a long track record of statistical analysis with following and projecting player development through the NCAA into professional football. Ben Rycroft is well known within Canada's soccer media and is currently the manager of communications for the Ontario Soccer Association. Kamal Hilton is the host of the Gaffer and Hooligan podcast and has covered many League One Ontario matches throughout this summer. And finally, Julian Uccello of the Woodbridge Strikers, a former AC Milan youth player, came back for 7 games this season, scoring 7 goals in the process. All weigh in on the inaugural season for League One, ideas of how it can either solidify itself in the Canadian soccer pyramid or improve and offer thoughts on the future of the league. Dino Rossi, chair of League One Ontario. I guess I wanted to start it off with just your thoughts on the two finalists in today's game, Vaughan Azzurri and Sigma FC.
Well, we had a great final today. You have two teams out there that have all season long been two of our best. You have a team like Sigma who's really technical, really skillful, but very young, and you saw that today, very young side. And contrast that with Vaughan, who has a more diverse mix of experience with youth. There were some guys on the Vaughan roster that are as young as 17. Their keeper is like a 97. And then you have someone with the experience of a Joseph DiChiara, who is our man of the match, or an Andrew Warnock, who came in the second half and who made a big difference. So, you know, it was two contrasting sides, but really two very worthwhile finalists, very deserving finalists. I was really pleased with how the game went today.
And from your perspective, what has been the biggest positive coming from League One Ontario this season?
Oh, there's just so many positives. It's hard to distill it down to one. I've been so pleased with the amount of attention the league has gotten because we have so much talent in this province. Not just playing talent, we have a great deal of coaching talent too. They deserve to be profiled. They deserve to be given the respect that's come from the hard work that they've put in over the years. We have coaches like a Tony LaFerrara or a Peter Pinizotto who've been at this for 30 years. And to have a league that's part of the Ontario Soccer Association Pyramid for Play structure that allows them to work at the highest level of senior soccer in the province and work with our best young talent in the province is really rewarding for me because they need to be in those positions. I'm very happy to see players like a Kyle Lahren, players like a Restrepo from TFC or a Godinho from TFC or Uccello, and there's others, Chris Nanko, who are getting called into national teams at senior level in case of Lahren, which is really a huge bonus. But with, you know, at the U20, U17, you even have someone as young as a 15-year-old, Adonijah Reed, at A&B, who's played a handful of games in League One and looked good. And he's a part of the U15 setup that Paul Stalteri and Antti Jazic are running. So it's really rewarding. And you know, for us, we know that the national team at all levels, whether it be Benito Floro, who is here today, and we greatly appreciate it, or it's Rob Gale, our U20 coach, or Sean Fleming, our U17 coach, they're watching this league. Our games are on tape. They have access to all of it, and they're watching because it's not only that the group of players that are being called in regularly that they're paying attention to. It's there's new names that are jumping to the forefront because of the success that they've had in League One, playing against men. You have 17-year-olds like Alex Dimitriou and Joshua Mills and a few others who've done outstanding this year. And they were somewhat unknowns. So now they're sort of on the radar. Those are the kinds of things that really are rewarding for me because this is why we did it. We wanted to create a platform for the best young talent in the province.
you know, this is your first year of inaugural season for League One Ontario. And for those who aren't familiar with it or hadn't caught a game this year, can you just kind of give us an idea of where you see this league fitting sort of in the development pyramid for Ontario or Canada? What is the specific role you see the league playing over the next couple of years?
Well, our stated mission is to be the best professional league in Canada below the NASL level. I'm sure our friends in Quebec might have something to say about it, but that's good. Good, healthy competition is good, and we're really excited that we have our Interprovincial Cup with them that's been finalized, and we're going to be crowning a champion of the Division III level in Canada on November 8th at Pickering Soccer Centre between our champion, which is Toronto FC Academy, and their champion, CS Longueuil. This league is critical in with all the work that the OSA is doing and the CSA is doing in redefining the elite player pathway. Without the top of the pyramid, which has been the part of the game that's been missing for so long, and to have a standards-based, professional, high-quality environment like we have, without that, you don't really do justice to the athletes who've invested so many years, so many hours in their personal development. We're just walking them to the edge of a cliff and saying, figure it out for yourself from here on. Well, that's no longer acceptable because we've created that bridge and we're going to continue to build out that bridge. We want this league to end the dilution that exists at the senior level. We want the best clubs in Ontario competing in League One with their best players. We want this to be the pinnacle that every young kid at 8, 10, 12 years old that comes into a club says, I want to play for the first team. It's not all about just individual youth teams that come up year by year and are going for Ontario Cups or go to that. No, we want the best of the best striving to make a first team in their club, and we want their club to take senior soccer at this level very seriously and make it a priority. And this year we've done it with male players. Next year we're super excited that we're going to be expanding this to the female side as well with a women's division. And there's a great deal of interest in that. And we've had some meetings, and we're expecting in the next 30 to 60 days to see applications streaming forward from clubs who are prepared to offer that same opportunity to the best female players as we've started to do now with the best male players.
That's really exciting. And you've done a pretty good job of sort of building up the league through these questions anyways. But if, you know, to round this out, why should people get excited about this league and, you know, share some ideas of why people should come out and check out League One Ontario?
If we start from the premise that we're all fans of Canadian soccer, and all we really want at the end of the day is to have a national program that is successful and that can make us proud, and it can put our players on a pedestal that they deserve to be, you know, playing in important tournaments, doing well. You don't do that just by sprinkling, you know, pixie dust over. You know, you need to put in a lot of hard work, and you need support from the entire soccer community. We've got good things happening at the youth level. I feel very strongly, and I see it on the field with these young kids. You know, we're talking a lot about long-term player development now in Ontario and in Canada, and it's all valid, and there's a lot of good work happening and a lot of effort being put to change the culture and change the attitude around youth development. But there's been positive things that have been happening for a half dozen or even, you know, a decade, a half dozen years or a decade, and you're starting to see the results. You know, the kids are coming up now who are 14, 15, 16, 17. They're not just good athletes. Our best guys aren't just good athletes. They're actually good footballers. They're technical. They're skillful. They're tactically intelligent. But we could do all kinds of great things and expose them to great coaches and have a great youth environment. But if we don't actually take it to the next step and have a strong, vibrant, healthy senior environment, we're missing out on the most important piece. In the rest of the world, the senior comes first, and the youth is a byproduct of having to develop strong senior teams. A club is defined by its first team. Our culture is different here, but we're trying to redefine it. We need people in the stands. We need people to pay attention in order to bring the sponsor support, in order to generate some revenue so that we can pay for all this. It's expensive. You know, these clubs are making massive investments. Then they're investing in the future of their players. And I, as chair of the league, are incredibly appreciative that they took that leap of faith. But in time, they're going to need to know that there people are appreciative of what's being done and want to support these players. These players want to play in front of crowds. They get up for the game when they're in front of a crowd. We want We want people to come out and watch the games because they're good. The soccer is great soccer. I'm a big supporter of that support local soccer idea, and there's nothing more local than this. You know, we have regional derbies. It's exciting. When you have a Woodbridge versus Vaughan, it's electric. You know, you have 800, 900 people at a game. That rivalry goes back a decade or two.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is an extension of that.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dean. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Ian.
Costas Smirnotis, director of Sigma FC. I guess the first question I want to ask on today's game, what was the plan for Sigma, or how did you guys work your way into this final game, especially considering you have so many players in NCAA, guys coming from the academy or whatnot, in terms of consistency to get to today?
Yeah, no, I think probably obviously the technical staff would probably be a lot better to answer that question. But, you know, in that regards, I mean, they've done a tremendous job. And it takes a lot of planning from the beginning of the year to get from where we started to where we're at today. And given a lot of the turnover, I mean, we've almost probably gone through four squads throughout the year. And we knew that was going to be the case. So it's a process. And the guys have done a tremendous job. You know, Bobby, our coach and director at Sigma, Bobby Smirnotis, done a tremendous job. The staff and, you know, just planning out all, making sure bodies are healthy throughout the year, loads and, you know, everything they're doing through training. And, yeah, one game at a time. And today we're at a great event here at BMO. And I think, you know, it's nice for the players that are out there. It's nice for the coaching staff and for the organization and obviously for the league. And we're all pretty happy about that.
And your academy has become really well known for developing players that can step right into NCAA and, of course, push into professional soccer. How have you found this league has provided you guys for those guys that are in NCAA coming back through the summer and giving them maybe a different look than the PDL?
Well, you know, and I think that's the what we looked at it. And, you know, we've always been committed to call it senior soccer. In order to have an academy, you know, and really do a good job in terms of development, there also has to be the carrot at the end of the, you know, at the top of the pyramid, let's call it, with. And you need to have a senior. You need to have a first team where all the kids can aspire to get to as well. You know, and we've had that before. We've been committed to it. This year through League One, it allowed us to kind of bring some other like-minded parties around the table too, and put together a league that was really about the players and really about a chance to get our best players in the area together. For us, like I said, the coaches have done a tremendous job in terms of dealing with the fact that we had a lot of guys, whether they were, you know, away at school, late arriving, guys away with national teams, guys away on training periods overseas. So it's a lot to manage throughout the season. But, I mean, League One has given us a platform to be able to kind of do that in a proper way throughout the year as well. And we're all pretty happy with where we're at, you know, after year one, you know, after today as well with the league finishing up.
Yeah, and I guess from year one, looking into the future, maybe what do you see or hope that this league can provide Sigma FC for your players to have that vehicle, that venue to keep them in the game and continue developing?
You know, League One has given us that opportunity. It's what I started off saying before. It was, you know, when we got this all started off, I mean, listen, I can say it from a personal level. I can say it from a Sigma level. I mean, we all want to see Canadian soccer get better. And we all eventually want to see a pro league even within our own country. League One is a step in the right direction. You know, what you see today when you're able to bring out 15 and 16-year-olds to play in a final today, you know, that means something. Those are going to be guys that are going to, you want to be able to make next steps with, and whether it's our club or the other the groups within. League One gives us a platform. If we can do that in Ontario with all the right groups, getting together at the table, having soccer first, you know, and keeping the administration side, you know, outside of that, then we really trying to figure out how this league can allow us to get players from point A to point B, to eventually get them into professional setups, to eventually benefit our national team. We need more professional players in order for our national team to get better. And this is just one step in that direction. If we can take care of business, as I say, in Ontario, you know, and a few of the other provinces follow suit, then we have the beginning of something that could be part of the solution going forward in terms of professional soccer and bettering Canadian soccer as well.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so Aaron Nielsen, EMB Sports. A few questions for you. The first one is, you had an article at the start of the season where you outlined maybe some ideas for the league, ideas for development. And I wanted to get, first off, what your thoughts were on how the season has gone and thoughts after, since we're in the final anyways, for 2014.
I think the season went pretty good. You know, it's the first season, so you're going to have your bumps along the way. And I later wrote an article, you know, International Toronto left the league and they were playing at Lamport Stadium. So the fact that there wasn't this team, even though we're at BMO Field right now, there wasn't a team in the downtown core, I think, caused a bit of an issue as the season progressed in terms of getting people out there to get to see it. But, you know, I've been to 5 or 6 games this season, and I was very impressed by the quality of play. And, you know, if you look at the amount of players who played in the league and are playing college, if you look at the success of York University, U of T, Ryerson, in terms of their success in the Canadian University League, they, you know, certainly it's improved the general quality of players of that age in this region.
So you have a, you know, you have a strong base in your background of, you know, where a player is in their development.
Sure.
and what their potential is. And I wanted to see, you know, were there any guys that stuck out to you this year that you think, you know, people who follow Canadian soccer might be able to play at a higher level?
Well, you know, certainly there's players in this league who, you know, the issue is many of the top players in this league have already had relationships with Toronto FC at the MLS level. So Emery Welshman, who's playing in the game today, certainly is a player who I think can play USL Pro or NASL level, if that's what you mean by the next level up. You know, there's some younger players, you know, Kyle Lahren, who unfortunately isn't at this game because he's playing in university. I do see him as certainly a top pick for the MLS draft and a lot of potential in the future. And there's a couple of other players. There's another player with Sigma named Mark Gonzalez, who I think has a similar progression. So, yeah, no, I do think there's a lot of good, nice players.
And, you know, like I said, when you published that article at the start of the year with some ideas for what the league could do to sort of raise their profile, and I'm wondering if you have any ideas after the season of maybe one or two things that they could do to sort of keep the momentum going and sort of stay at the forefront for grassroots soccer or maybe bring in some new fans to watch this league?
Yeah, I think what they, for example, like we're at BMO Field today, so I think that's a great thing, right? You know, I haven't had a chance to look around, so I don't know if there's any main media here. You know, I didn't get a chance to see any major articles on them and say, you know, the city newspapers and stuff, so I think that's vital. And I think the league itself needs to do a lot more sort of promoting and stuff like that. In terms of the work I do, you know, the statistics and analytics, this is already provided at a PDL level and at a college level. So in terms of players developing, that information is expected. And so I don't know, like I haven't seen the League One's total package, but if they're able to get video on player and if they're able to get more information on them, it will certainly help the player's career as they advance. To add to that, I think one of the things I think the league should do is try to get a major team from a European market into play the teams in the city, like partly because in the summer these teams are in their off-season break, so they have the ability to do so. And I think that's one of the things. One of the issues with the league is they're basically playing players that they're accustomed to and at that level. And so to have teams who are, you know, who are regarded as a higher quality come in, it would be better to rate the level of the players in this league.
Thanks, Aaron.
Okay.
Ben Rycroft, a manager of communications at the Ontario Soccer Association. Ben, you have a deep knowledge for soccer in Canada, divisions right up to MLS. How would you rate this inaugural season for League One Ontario?
I think it's a good start. They set out to set up a standards-based league, bring some of the top clubs in the province together into one organization under one banner, and start creating a development system that would fill the gap that exists in Canadian soccer and in Ontario soccer as well. Between the amateur ranks and the professional ranks, there needs to be a couple steps in between to help those players get from that top level OSL, top level elite level player who's an amateur into the professional ranks. And there's that little bit of a gap in the age that hasn't existed until now. So from that perspective, very successful in getting that set up. Like anything, it takes time to sort of build these things, and people will sometimes expect a little too much right out of the gate. I think they set their standards exceptionally right where they needed to be, and then they've exceeded some of those expectations in the long run, and I think that a lot of them will say, we're building. For me, it's a great first start, and they're building towards something better for this next generation of players.
And what do you think needs to happen for this league to keep growing and to solidify itself in the Canadian soccer landscape as well as the Canadian development pyramid?
It's twofold. They need to maintain the standards that they've set up, and everything that I've seen so far indicates that they're going to do that. There's been no doubt in my mind that they were going to stay firm with the coaching standards, with the game day standards, with the professionalism, because that's what this is set out to be. This is not set out to be a big money maker for anybody. Nobody's going into this thinking they're going to make $1 million. What they're doing is they're setting up a development system. And so for that to be done, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort, it takes money. And you start building that development system, and over time, it'll begin to work its way into that development period. In terms of where they're going with this over this next little while and what I think is going to happen, I think that, as I said, they're going to maintain the standards that they've built. They're going to spread out further, as we're seeing. They've created a divisional, provincial, interprovisional cup. I expect that that will be something that will extend further. So the top team from Ontario plays the top team in Quebec. I would expect in the next year or two that you'd be seeing another province, very likely BC, being added into that, and then that will build further from there. And in addition to that, they're adding a women's division. So, I mean, everyone likes to talk about the development pyramid in strictly a men's sense, but there's absolutely the women's side as well, and that needs to be an equal focus, and it is being an equal focus. So a number of the teams from League One have already put forward their interest, Vaughan being the most notable of all of them so far, putting their interest forward, saying we're going to be as committed to the women's game as we are to the men's game. We're going to put a semi-professional women's team together as well, and we're going to push forward in that development sense. And for me, that's the two biggest signs, that they're maintaining the standards, they're pushing outward, not just maintaining where they're going, but also looking to expand further horizons and also shifting into the women's game as well.
Ben, I found the quality of League One Ontario, as well as that cup final with Sigma FC against Vaughan, to be very good, in the sense that it's really worth it, I found, for any soccer fan who's interested in this sport in Canada to come out and watch a game. Well, what do you think gets the most success in terms of getting that message out? And what are your thoughts on how to keep the interest high as well as progressing it?
I think a lot of it comes down to sort of word of mouth. I mean, it wasn't any mistake that we invited a number of the media members out, not to just cover the game on this weekend, but to also just to see. So some of them have been out, others haven't been this year, and some of them haven't even thought about it. But a number of the media came out, such as yourself, and got to experience League One. And so as the messaging goes, you then take that message forward to someone else, to someone else, to someone else, and it begins to build. That's the good way to build ground-level communication. But for me, it was, I saw a number of games this year, and I never really got the opportunity to watch the game from any kind of vantage point. And I was watching it from the press box at BMO Field on the weekend. And I was finding myself even surprised, because like, I'd seen a number of the games. When you're watching it from field level, you sometimes don't get an appreciation for the intricacy and the quality of play that's it's on display. Like, you can see top quality players when they're running down the field, but when you can see the play developing, and you can see what they're doing out there beyond just sort of clever foot play and beating a player, it doesn't give you an appreciation for that. So like I said, I think it's as much getting an experience for the people like the media and also the general soccer populace in this province, whether it's the TFC Academy and the TFC supporters getting out, or whether it's the local communities like Vaughan and Woodbridge and the soccer communities that are associated with that, getting out and actually seeing the product. It's one thing for me or you or anyone else to sort of sit here and talk about it and say it's a great level, or watch it on like a live stream and say it's a great level. But until you get out there and you actually experience it and see the quality of the players and see some of the names that are associated with it, I mean, Emery Welshman, Andrew Ornak, DeChera, a number of these guys, Lou, one of these guys have come through the provincial system, who have come through TFC Academy or NCAA, and a lot of the names are familiar. And so they're looking for that. And those are the types of players that is absolutely important for League One. They need that little extra step. They need that little extra professional development to help them get beyond that bump. I mean, we saw Emery Welshman, as an example, go through Toronto FC, get drafted, had a little bit of a period where he was looking like he might catch on, and then unfortunately didn't work out for him. And so he's back to sort of like, not square one, but back to rebuilding that opportunity up again. So this is what that level is for, with those types of players. So along with our word, my word, your word, media word, the player word as well. A number of the players came away from the season talking about the high quality of coaching, the high quality of training, the standards that were in place. And then that spreads as much of the message as anything, is that when other players start hearing about it and hearing about what this league is doing, and when you see guys like Benito Floro or Rafael Carbajal, both in the national team setup, out there, being a part of that national final day. I mean, that's the type of thing that resonates with players. It's the type of thing that resonates with coaches as well, in terms of getting these types of people into the right positions and into the right league so they can get exposure, so they can get seen, and they get on and start to have another further development arc of their careers.
And Ben, finally, I'm just wondering if you're aware of any changes or big things that you know are going to happen for League One Ontario in 2015.
I sort of alluded to it already. The Interprovincial Cup is something that's really special. Getting the first place team, the league champion from League One, playing off against the Quebec semi-professional league champion is a big start. I mean, it's certainly for everyone who's been around the game, who's talked about what could be someday if we were to have an open cup similar to the U.S. Open Cup. But the same people who we've been talking to over the years have begun listening, and they're absolutely committed to creating that development period, and they're absolutely committed to building that dream into something. How quickly that happens, I don't have an inside knowledge on that, but I do know that the people who are at the helm of that development pyramid, at the helm of creating a different level of the development in this country, are the ones who are sort of pushing that. So in addition to that, I've said that the big thing next year is absolutely coming is the women's division. The women's division will add another layer to, and just in the same way the men's level has, will add another layer to those U20, those U23 players who will have an opportunity to work in a professional environment on Canadian soil, in a Canadian league, with the Canadian interest at heart and at interest, and getting their opportunities to sort of play and learn and develop under top-level coaching as well as high-level standards for the infrastructure that exists. It's one thing to say you're going to build a league for women's players. It's another thing to completely commit to it the way that League One is talking about. So for me, it's really exciting on that front because next year we're going to see the Women's World Cup here, 2015, and it will absolutely exemplify why a league like this is so necessary for our women's players as well as for our men's players. And for what's happening with the men's division, you can absolutely expect similarities to be happening with the women's division. And going further than that, as I sort of alluded to, we've talked about that open cup nature, similar to the U.S. Open Cup. I would absolutely like to believe that we're going to see something like that in the next, say, 5 years when another semi-professional league goes into perhaps BC, and they build out the structure and the foundation from there.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Anytime, guys.
All right, Kamal Hilton of Gaffer and Hooligan Podcast. Kamal, what are your thoughts on this first season for League One Ontario? Sort of just your opinions and views of the quality of play and what you thought of this first season.
I think in general it's been quite strong. You have, everybody thinks of Toronto FC Academy, and yes, they won the title, but you've had some other really strong teams. I think Sigma showed well, even though they lost in this final. You have Vaughan, who won the League One Cup final. They are basically under Carmine Asako, have built something pretty strong, incorporating York University and all of that. And you've had some other teams that are improving along the way. I think with time, I think you're not going to see as many lopsided score lines because that was a big problem in the league. You know, games would end like 8-2 or 7-1, and then you'd lose interest a little bit. But I think the gap will close with time.
So, I mean, you saw quite a few games, Kamal. I'm wondering if there was any... I mean, you mentioned obviously some teams, but along with some of these teams that stood out to you, were there any players that really stood out, as well as, you know, what are your thoughts on the quality of the players and it's capable for them to play at a higher level?
I think it varied from team to team, especially in this first season. But with me, I covered mostly Sigma FC games, so I'm a little bit biased towards them. And I think the first guy on the team sheet is Kyle Lahren. Everybody's already heard about him and watched him play, and he carried over a lot of his good form with Sigma into these national team camps, so you're definitely going to see him. There's Kwame Awua, his college teammate. There's Christian Samarego, I think that's how you say his name. He's a midfielder for Sigma. He's really can control the ball really well. And then you saw today with Vaughn, Joseph Di Chiara, he's named man of the match. He's really impressive in terms of his ball control. And I think a lot of these guys, I don't know if they can jump straight into a team, but I think they should at least be given an opportunity, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
And from your view of watching this first season for League One Ontario, is there any one thing or maybe a few things that you think would be useful moving forward to keep this league relevant as well as improve it over the short to midterm?
I think it's just continued development and growth. I know it's already been confirmed that the league is going to move towards the women's game. You're going to see a lot of women's teams join League One and a few more men's teams join the teams that are already there. So yes, it's growing, but it's just about improving the quality on the field. You want to see some of those teams that had were on the wrong end of lopsided score lines kind of improve through academy systems that they're building and growing that way, more so than signing ex-pro players from far-flung countries.
Great. Thanks a lot, Kamal.
No problem.
Julian Uccello, forward for the Woodbridge Strikers. Julian, you come from a unique and I would say important background for the makeup of League One. You know, you're a veteran with European experience. How did you find your season with League One, your thoughts on the league, and how you fit into it?
Well, I felt that, you know, League One it's a great start for Canadian soccer. I feel that there's a lot of youth talent, you know, that doesn't get, you know, sort of recognized as much as it should. You know, we have all the supplies, especially with TFC and all the other youth academies, where we're able to train all the youth and turn them into what they hope to be great assets for their future teams.
From what you saw here this season, what would you say, again, based on your experience and being a veteran player, the biggest differences you saw coming back to Ontario from when you were growing up here?
There's a couple of differences that I noticed in regards to when I was growing up. In my opinion, you know, when you're in your youth and you're in the crossroads of deciding what you want to do in your life, you need to sit there and sort of understand that soccer is life and it's not just a hobby. You know, it's uncountable hours of hard work daily and many sacrifices, in my opinion, that need to be made to get to where you want to get. You know, for example, friends, family, girlfriends, and then at a certain age, they start getting involved in parties. But, you know, these are some of the things that don't go well with soccer, obviously, until you've made it. When you've made it, these things all come to you. You know, these are the things that will hold you back from succeeding. But when I grew up, it was soccer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Like, it was my life. And in my opinion, that's what's holding our youth back a bit.
Do you feel that League One Ontario and leagues like it offer the right incentive for players maybe to stay in Canada a little bit longer to develop?
You know, every youngster wants to move overseas to play soccer. I've never understood why, though, especially when they have a professional team right here at home. When we grew up, TFC was just new. MLS was sort of getting into all the good stuff. So for us, it was a lot easier to want to move away. But League One definitely offers these kids a chance to get hooked, to get looked at by MLS teams, their youth, and their youth squads especially. Moving overseas is one of the hardest things in the world. And, you know, most kids that do go there, they stay a month and then they come home because they miss their family and friends. They have all the tools here. And, you know, I think that all they need to do is train, and they will succeed.
And from your experience, I mean, you've actually touched on quite a few things, so maybe it's something else. What would you like to see here in Canada to keep this country and its development progressing and improving?
I think the one thing that needs to be seen here in Canada, in my opinion, is in order to make things better in our youth program is, you know, something to give these kids to look forward to, something for them to start looking up to. I mean, if that means putting more League One teams, then I feel that should be done. You know, little kids will look up to the League One players and want to be like them. I mean, it's all about having that idol that you can look up to. You know, it's easy to say I want to be like Messi or I want to be like Ronaldo, but in my opinion, they don't have that opportunity to sit back and watch them play and watch them train in real life. It becomes more unrealistic. when they do have that League One team, as much as it's just a League One team, which is, in my opinion, a very good start for Canadian soccer, they can look at those players and say, well, one day I want to play League One. You know, it's not one, it's not I want to be Messi. It's one day I want to play League One, because then I know that playing in League One will get me noticed by TFC, by Montreal Impact, by all these teams. You know, I feel that they need to be also a little bit more interactive with the players, more team functions, you know, getting the smaller guys to actually look up at the League One players as their idols.
Maybe on a bit of a personal note, you're in a unique position in that you have two younger brothers at TFC Academy, and you've already gone through the process of being a highly touted prospect coming up through Canada and Europe. What has been your main advice to them, and what would be your main advice to young League One players as they get closer to making into the pro ranks?
Well, I tell my brothers every day not to give up. I mean, when you see them down and out, it's only the strong who are able to stand back on their feet. You know, I tell them that there are going to be many individuals who will tell them you're not going to do it, or you're not going to be good enough, or you're not going to make it. You know, but that should be the fuel in their engine, you know, to prove them all wrong. I've been very keen on that, because even when I was growing up, I had 80% of the people tell me you're not going to do it. You know, it's not possible. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. And I basically took that as my fuel. I wanted to prove everyone wrong. You know, basically, I also told them when you know, don't get call-ups from the national team, you know, you think you should be getting these call-ups, but you don't. All I tell them is that you got to work harder to stand out, so they do call you up. You know, my brothers, Michael and Luca, they both, in my eyes, are young superstars. And I know it's easy for me to say because they're my brothers, but I treat them a lot harder than I do to other kids that I talk to. You know, and I feel that, you know, they're both going to make a career out of soccer, and both will be very successful as long as they keep their head on their shoulders and don't become, you know, that those, you know, those cocky kids that, you know, think they're the best, think they're better than everyone. They're always on their high. You know, it's about being upbeat but always respectful, which goes for my brothers just like it goes for every youngster. You know, they got to sit back. They got to enjoy it. They got to let hard work come into place. If they work hard, anyone can achieve anything, because nothing's impossible.
And Julian, you had a short but very successful season in League One with Woodbridge. What's next for you in your soccer career?
Well, what's next for me? I mean, I haven't really thought of next year. You know, I've always been the type of guy that lives for today, especially when it comes to teams, because one year one team could like you, the next year they don't. It doesn't matter how good you do or how bad you do. It's more that I'm sure that if I get a call to go and play for a team, I'll definitely put a lot of thought into it. But I definitely enjoyed the 2 months that I played in League One, you know, 7 games. I didn't really get to play a lot, but I enjoyed it. You know, the level of play was amazing. I'm sure that playing with the younger kids on my team, I gave them a lot of advice as much as they gave me advice, because there's some stuff that when people tell me, even though I've been, you know, doing it since I was a little kid, I always like taking advice. And it doesn't matter whether they're younger or older, they can have a point of view that maybe I didn't see. And there's some times where it, you know, it works. And League One definitely is where I think Canada needs to be now.
All right, Julian, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem.